Joe to Falco in the ring. Raising up the future, got the belts, got the sweat. Endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the mic. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight. Future stars, destined for the fame. In the ring, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game. Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim. They proudly claim. Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise, taking flights off the ropes to the skies. Arm locks, head spin, never compromise. Gold around their waist, the ultimate prize. Hustle hard, dream big, DeFalco's battalion. Ring warriors bred from lion's den, medallion. Every win, every loss, another step uphill. Forge their own path with an iron will. Future stars, destined for the fame. In the ring, they'll carve their name. They proudly claim.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, everything's going smooth, everything is set up and ready for Saturday. There's no inconveniences, problems, or anything, and wrestling was ready to be had.
Yeah, well, you know, either way, the wrestling is going to be had. It's going to be a great show, but, you know, there's issues that occur. And, you know, first off, Jay Vidal will not be at the show tomorrow. Had some travel things, and then it's gotten crazy. I was looking at flights. LAX to Vegas was $420 round trip. Like, what the fuck? So, you know, fortunately, you know, Tito and Limelight, you know, part of the old days in the groups, you know, Team Filthy or whatever. So, you know, they're going to get down there. So we'll be set on that. But because of that, you know, we're waiting on Hammerstone. And he's not able to make it. So we have a issue in terms of we need to replace somebody in the gauntlet match. And we need somebody in the championship scramble. So, you know, I'm also going to be scrambling after we get off the podcast and looking for some names, because it's like, okay, Shogun, Ice, well, they're all in big matches. And, you know, you don't want people to have to do double duty. And so right now we have the championship scramble. You know, I hit up Brian Cage last minute, and it was like, you know, if we would have got the info sooner, he ended up going away. But he would have been here, but he figured he wasn't doing anything, so he extended, you know, his stay to wherever he is. I have no idea. But yeah, instead of leaving later, he left earlier. So he's gone, and he would have loved to be a part of that match, another former FSW heavyweight champion. So, you know, at this point, the question becomes, all right, do we move Cappuccino Jones into the championship scramble match, former ID champion?
Yep.
You know, so, which now would eliminate two people because Jay Vidal won't be there. And right now you have Xander And there's a young guy, Jake Redondo, who we're very fond of. And with Jay Vidal leaving, I was going to put him, because he was going to be in town, and we were going to probably utilize him in the pre-show match. So Jake right. Redondo gets put into that. So technically, we have the four guys there, and then we'd have the four in the championship scramble. But the concept of the match is a scramble. You know, we're going to do every, you know, two guys will start, and then every 3 minutes, the third participant, the fourth participant, and then Bodhi would be the last participant. So, you know, got some decisions to make on if we're doing four and four and keeping it the way it is, or we're going to do five and, you know, I'm looking through the names and it's like, man, who's available? And then, you know, it seems like, man, IZW, you know, is the curse of us in Phoenix, because not only is, you know, Koa and Saturn not going to be here because of that. Yep. Then it was like, well, I hit up Dante King and he's going to be there. And I think there was somebody else also that I hit up that was going to be.
Damian.
Well, yeah, Damian Drake's also going to be there. And so now it's like really, you know, tightening the noose there on, like, you know, you would think a huge show like this, it would be very simple to just plug in a top name guy.
Right.
But it's just, you know, the way you're trying to set it up, you want it at least to be, a, you know, I'm big on the concepts and the idea, not that it really matters, but, you know, initially the idea was former FSW heavyweight champions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, at this point, I'm good with a former champion, FSW champion. So no limits, tag. But it's like, man, if you start looking, it's like you're dipping into Franco D'Angelo or you know what I mean? And yeah. That, it's like, you know, Graves was in IZW this
right.
week.
That's right.
You know, yeah. So he's another guy, you know. So it's really limited into that, you know. And Juicy is at IZW or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, you have 10, 15 guys, and right now nobody seems to be available. So, you know, we're going to go back to the drawing board. You know, either way, it's a great match with Bateman, Sharp, and, you know, the heavyweight champion, Bodhi, and Danny Limelight. So, you know, not that that's not a great match, but, you know, it's kind of what we wanted to do. So, you know, we will see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the brilliance of cards subject to change, right? You know?
You know, maybe Zoe wants to get in on the action.
I mean, she could, you know. And Zoe and Brittany, man, that's going to be something else.
You know, the winner of that in the semi-main continues into a 20-minute championship scramble immediately following.
I'm sure that Zoe wouldn't want any extra on top for that one.
Oh, you know? No, not at all.
You know, it's a throw in. You know, but, you know, when you look at having you know, Brittany and the social media she put out, and I mean, you know, is this something that the, you know, she's really kind of taking advantage of this opportunity? Because I think this is definitely something where I think Brittany's getting a chance to develop a little bit more of that character and that personality and finding who that really is with that spoiled brat.
Well, really, you know, definitely her promos have come along. It's kind of like, you know, back in the day with Hammerstone, you know, not being a guy who got the opportunity to talk a lot, and that became one of his strengths. You know, that was always the difference between him and Cross was, you know, Cross was so much better on the microphone. But I'll tell you what, you know, Hammerstone became top notch on the microphone, and being a heel really opened up that personality. And it's the same thing with Brittany Brooks, you know, where she kind of relied, I guess, maybe you could say, on the, you know, the Britney Spears thing. You know, she still uses that catchphrase, but that's all I could think of when I associated her. And now she's built herself a character. Yeah. And that's the thing. And, you know, then we have another women's match with Zamaya against the now Veronica West. Oh. And yes, and we have the last man standing. But, you know, the woman with the most name changes in wrestling history over a 4-month period, the former Fallen Gray, Veronica Haven, Veronica West, maybe Ronnie West, you know. But, you know, her character, she's no longer part of the ID program, you know. I talked to her the other day, and I thought she built a brand with the Fallen Gray character, and she's got the wings and stuff. And that character, the name Fallen Gray, means a lot more with that character. Veronica West or Veronica Haven doesn't really gel with the look. And again, anybody can have a name, and the name could be fine, but it's like, well, Fallen was actually the perfect name for how you were presenting yourself. So, you know, we're trying to chisel away. You know, I know Chris said the same thing, Bay, when we're talking about, and even Brittany, you know, like, hey, you know, obviously you're going to build in your own thing. So, you know, we're going to see.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like, Veronica West is the, you know, the other persona before the superhero. You know, it's almost like you could get away with, you know, this kind of multi-personality thing. But the biggest problem is, like you said, it's building that brand. And this is one thing that I think the ID kids don't realize is that technically, if you look close at the contracts and stuff, they might want you to change your name, but you are not obligated to change your name when it comes to the ID. So, you know, you are kind of taking a risk because you've built a brand and now you've changed it. Now you're being presented as something else. Then you're let go, and now you're trying to hold on to that something else, but you can't go buy that something else because they own that something else. It's so confusing with this ID program because of the fact that, you know, realistically, they shouldn't have to change their names for the ID program.
Yeah, it really became a weird situation. Like, I saw something, Jimmy House is wrestling today as Jimmy House, but then he's CJ Valor. And it's like, well, if I'm booking Jimmy House, how many people were aware that he's actually that CJ Valor guy that you're watching on Evolve? Yeah. So you're really not benefiting because now it's like, hey, I'm WWE ID guy. Now my rate is an extra $100, let's just say. Well, why am I paying an extra $100 if you're Jimmy House?
Right.
You know what I mean? And like the same situation, it wasn't like Fallon was there for a year. It was probably a few months. They got her on Evolve and, you know, did that help her value? I would think so, but I don't know for sure. And nobody knows for sure because she wasn't there long enough. And, you know, we all know when everybody leaves WWE, whether it's NXT or the others, you know, the smart ones are the ones who work for a really good rate, like Carolina Cruz, you know. And then there's the other ones who bitch and moan on social media about how they're not really getting any bookings, but you're trying to charge $1,000 when you were on TV three times, and before you left to go on TV, you were working for $50 to $100. Like, why do you think, because somebody's plugging WWE ID or even former WWE and being on NXT. And, you know, there's a guy who will remain nameless who was an NXT guy, big jack motherfucker. You know, he's good, but he wanted like $750. And it was like, bro, there's no value in that. And he's worked for some other companies, and he got hit up. He hit me up because of people that are in high positions in FSW who were big elsewhere. You know, yeah. Said, hey, talk to Joe. And they were offended. Like, I was like, you know, offering them $75. It's like, it wasn't that. But, you know, a flight and $750 for a guy who appeared on NXT three times isn't benefiting me in any way. You know, you want exposure, you want experience, we can give you that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, it's true. And, you know, that complicates things. When you're talking about Ice Williams, I'm sure Ice is wanting now about $10.50, right? After the AEW appearance, man.
Ice is the best. You know, he's a guy who embraced his release, where I know he was really down after it. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's at every show. Unless he's working, he's going to be at setup today, and he's going to help out and – you know, help agent and help run the back. And he's become a major cog in the FSW wheel, you know, and has really embraced what went on. And he, you know, and we talked, and it's like, you know what, when you have somebody with a similar look and a similar style, and they're put in a higher position, you know, it's you know, we always say right place, right time. There's also wrong place, wrong time. Yeah, and
absolutely,
you know, you can see some similarities in Ice and some of the guys that they're pushing on the main roster that are as young as him. So right now, you know, I told him maybe he needs to shave his head or something. You know what I mean? It's like, WWE is very much where, hey, isn't it weird how two people in this entire world don't have the same first name?
Right.
Everybody's their own entity, and you have to fit into that niche. And it's like, go look at AEW and go look at the Rascals and Ace Austin, and all those guys were all over TNA television on everything. Now it's like they're randomly put in certain spots, not utilized as a main cog. And I guess, you know, the money's a lot better and everything. But these are young cats who want to wrestle. And you see it because there are a lot of them wrestling on the indies, even though they're making the highest salary they've probably ever made. Yeah. But it's wanting to be a part of something. You know, I remember the frustrations with Brian Cage. As much money as he was making from his AEW contract, he was complaining because they weren't using him. Yeah. And he was being paid the same amount. And, you know, he'd go out there, and I saw he's booked in New Zealand because our guy Omar from the Silver Knights, who's now in New Zealand helping run the soccer team, hit me up to send me the flyer. Because he's got tickets, Cross is going to be there, and Cage is going to be there. And they're, I guess it's the World Series Wrestling or whatever it is, something like that. And I guess they're doing the Australian tour with them. And, you know, yeah, Brian wants to be paid a lot more than the $75 I used to pay him back in the days he would drive from Fresno or get on an Allegiant flight. But he wants to work cool matches, and he wants to work good people. And he knows, on the indies. He can get his, you know, he's the opposite. You know, you look at the Good Brothers and it's kind of like, oh, you know, you're paying a lot of money, but you're not getting the type of work rate Brian Cage is going to give you. Like, he don't want to go 7 minutes. He wants to go 25 when he's going to wrestle like KJ Orso or any of these big name guys that he gets to work on the indies, or hey, when he got to work Gringo Loco and he worked the Mecca and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, Brian loves to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, there won't be any surprises with MK's team. You know, that it's always that wild card of will Tony Khan just kind of pull someone the night before. So, you know, that's the other thing. It's funny because there's a lot of discussion going on today in the internet about, you know, because Brian Alvarez said something to the extent of about people who are, you know, at home sitting out contracts, essentially, and people are, you know, bringing up, well, Tony lets people work independent shows, but these people don't understand how that actually works. And, you know, some people have brought up the fact that, you know, there's been a few names recently that were supposed to work indie shows within the last 6 months that Tony just pulled, you know, right before the show. You know, it's interesting because these guys do want to work. That's the other thing. People saying, oh, you get to sit at home and collect a paycheck. What's the problem? And it's like, because they really want to work. That's why they do indie shows.
And I'll tell you what. And then there's some that you saw sat around, got paid, contract came up, and then they re-signed.
Yeah.
And those were the guys that, you know, you hear stories and you don't know, you know, a lot of the shit's bullshit. But it's like, oh, yeah, you know, they presented Rusev with an idea. What do you mean they presented him with an idea and he didn't want to do it? So they were just like, oh, okay, so just sit home for another 2 more months. Like, seriously? You continue to pay a guy and you're not bringing him in? You know what I mean? It's like that seemingly makes no sense. But then you hear a lot of times about the inmates run the asylum. And yeah. You know, if you bitch and moan about it, you continue to be paid. You know, look at, you know, you got guys that were pushed to the moon, like a Sammy Guevara, who's now crying and complaining because he's like, I'm ready to be used and they're not using me. And it's like, yeah, join the party, bro. It's like, you know, how many times did that happen to Lance Hoyt and Brian Cage?
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing, especially Lance, one of the most positive guys you'll ever see. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was like, yeah, you know, getting paid. And it was, you know, a little bit of a different kind of mentality. You know, stuff like you would hear when people would run into Cross at catering. Like, you know, he was never that guy about, oh, I'm just getting the paycheck. You know, he felt that, you know, and, you know, he wanted to be a guy that people remembered and a guy that he wanted to be a big star in the wrestling business. Yeah. And, you know, you could say anything you want about, oh, look at this guy and that guy. If they choose not to push you to the moon, you know, look how hot Damian Priest was for a while. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, Triple H is taking shots at him. It was like they made that guy a champ. Like, wow. And then I read some things that, you know, and Kevin had told me this year and a half ago, about the analytics and all the other stuff that nobody really heard about. But now we're starting to hear it. The one guy, I guess he got released. I didn't know that. And Kevin basically put out a thing he wants to feud with him, the Ilya guy. And he got brought up. I think he won the Intercontinental or whatever, and then he got hurt. And it's like, well, you know, he's not getting you know, on the analytics and the data, it's like, what? Like, you mean the guy's been hurt for this long? It isn't like he's been a 20-year veteran. Like, I get it. You know, there's different scenarios to this stuff. Hey, the new day didn't want to take a big cut.
Well, okay. And it also, one of the things that it seems to have happened with Dragunov is Dragunov came back from the injury. He got the U.S. title. And then they had them, they ditched the title from him onto Trick. And this is where that analytics stuff starts to play in. Is, you know, they're now looking at that going, oh, well, this guy can't do what this person can do. And it's mind-blowing and terrifying that that's what we're starting to look at as running a wrestling company is.
But
are they buzzing?
But they take a guy who got pushed five different times, Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Older.
Right.
Nobody's analyticing that guy. Re-sign him and then put the belt on him.
Well, and I think, and that's it. And it's like only the question is what will happen if that does not live up to the expectations in what they're expecting those analytics to look like. It's unfortunately, it's like baseball now. You know, it's like all of a sudden this whole mindset of these numbers are outweighing what you're actually watching. Which,
yeah, it is, but it isn't. But unfortunately, most baseball players are hitting 230. So analytics makes me sit down. But if I'm hitting 350, I'm playing every day against right-handers or left-handers. If I go in that game and I hit three homers, like the guy who debuted for the Cardinals, and his first three at-bats in the major leagues were home runs, he's going to get a chance to succeed.
Right.
While in WWE, it's out of mind, out of sight. Like, Dominic supposedly complaining because, hey, the way I'm presented in AAA is now not the way I'm being presented in WWE. And even though he was over as fuck, now, maybe not as much. And again, it's the opportunities. You know, Javon Evans was the next big thing, but I guess now they're pushing tricks, so now Javon Evans. Yeah, but not really. The Bron Breakker thing, you know, it's like, so you're pushing Oba to the moon, but you're not and it looked like you were pushing Bron Breakker. And then whether unreal is unreal or real, the idea of saying, well, we didn't want to push him down everybody's throat, yet everybody was getting behind Bron Breakker. So that makes zero sense because he was a heel that people were interested in seeing.
Right.
And now they pulled back. And he did get hurt a couple times, so that's also a major situation. But it's like they're just cycling people in and out, in and out. It's like you look and it's like, oh, yeah, where's this person been? Where's that person been?
But that brings up the question, is that because of analytics and data instead of storytelling and creative? That's a great question, man.
Well, yeah, because now the vision kind of imploded. Austin Theory was almost out the door, and now he's like the main focus of the vision because he was supposedly a guy Vince loved, but nobody else did, and then he kind of got left by the wayside. And then him and Waller kind of fizzled out, yet somehow he got a promotion and got put in a better situation. And, you know, they tried and, you know, and then Logan Paul got hurt and Bronson Reed got hurt. And you know, and again, those are no faults of anybody. Bronson Reed, you know, seemingly is going to be put in a bigger spotlight than he was before.
Yeah.
But then why is it different for Bron Breakker? Like to me, Bron Breakker was the breakout star of that group. That was kind of the reason why they went a different way, and Seth Rollins was gone, kind of like what Judgment Day did with Edge. When you first saw it, it was like, ah, what the fuck? That's kind of weird. But then they rebranded it.
Right.
And now Judgment Day looks like it's turning into a women's faction.
Right.
And, you know, I hear J.D. McDonagh is such a, you know, he's a great bumper and he sells great, but I don't see the star quality in him.
No. No, you know, you just let Dragunov go, who, you know, has more, you know, more to offer in terms of that. But, you know, that was also his choice, too. He didn't want to resign. So,
well, and then you want to talk about it again with the analytics, you know, supposedly before Cross left, wasn't he one of the highest merch sellers?
Yeah.
You know, it's the LA Knight thing. Is LA Knight going to wrestle Roman Reigns after they have this big thing? Is he teaming with Solo? What's going on? You know, is Solo going to help, you know, LA Knight beat Roman Reigns, which is hard for me to believe that they would pull that trigger, because it seems like with TKO, they're very, very, very star-driven with the Lesnar and Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And, like, those are their top-tier guys. Yep. And I don't know if they're going to fuck with, you know, LA Knight, which, again, as we've seen, it's not gonna affect things. It's going to spark some stuff. CM Punk, you know, there was the rumors, oh, he pissed everybody off in this. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, and that's, you know, that's two interesting points. A, the rumor is that Owens gets the title on Friday because they're in Canada in front of his family, etc. So that's going to be interesting to see if they're going to do that. And of course they would have to, if they do that, then of course, you know, Punk and him probably go Sunday night's main event for the title again. But you just brought up analytics. You brought up Solo. I just saw something that apparently Solo's merchandise has just spiked.
Well, and it looks like they're putting out. Have to. It's like Jey Uso's.
Yeah, they're putting out a new shirt with the new catchphrase, and yeah, so it's incredibly if there is the analytical breakdowns, what is the percentage that feeds into merchandise sales, and you know, in your television rating, and you know, this and that. And then on top of that, you also have to be a good trooper. You also have to, you know, be a locker room leader. Like, there is so much more now that goes into it than back in the day where, holy shit, he's 6'5", he looks great, he sits in back, all he does is drink beer before they go out there, and then catches a ride with four other guys to the next city. I mean...
Or you work out with Triple H like Sheamus did, and then within 2 years, you were the heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. Was he deserving of it? Some people say yes, some people say no. But no matter what it is, you can look at every single person on the roster and say this many unbelievable things for why they should be pushed. Then you could say this many things on why they should be released and not be there anymore. You know, it comes down to, you know, with the money and, hey, how many less dates are working? And it's like, you know, in most businesses, you know, you don't go to Amazon, and people say you get pretty well paid pretty well to do some of that work. But it isn't like if, you know, Amazon makes an extra $10 billion, everybody's getting another $20 an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the deal. New Day's deal was up. They were getting paid supposedly over $1 million a year. Well, 3 years ago, they were one of the main guys. Yeah. 2 years ago, they were pretty much in the mix. The last year, they were barely utilized.
Yeah.
And now WWE's in a position where they have almost no house shows compared to what they did. So you might have made $1 million based, and you probably worked maybe 160 shows. Now you're working 30 shows. So we're going to pay you accordingly. on that. Yeah. Now, because we negotiated a deal and Saudi Arabia is going to pay us X amount of dollars. Well, if you get to be on that Saudi Arabia show, you're going to benefit. But if you're not, you're not all of a sudden getting an extra $150,000 because Saudi Arabia paid us $100 million to be at WrestleMania, but you're not even on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I get it. You need to get paid. And thanks to AEW, a lot more people are getting paid. And that's why, you know, Paul White can say he's talking about his retirement and he's being paid probably pretty heavily to announce occasionally. You know, how many house shows does AEW do? Zero.
Yeah.
Pretty much. They end up taping the Ring of Honor separately in one day, literally 8 hours. And the rest is they're doing Collision and their other show in the same night.
Yeah.
So it's like TNA. What do you got? 5 or 6 shows a month?
Yeah.
But you want to be paid like the old days when the guys were on the road 250 days a month, a year.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like, you know, it's a catch 22. If you're worth it, like New Day can go to AEW and say, you know what? I think we can do better than $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they're probably right. And that's what Edge did. And that's what Mark Henry did. And that's what Christian did. And that's what Cesaro did. And that's what all the guys that were with WWE forever, that everybody swore would never leave, left because Vince did not have anything for them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you can sign a Legends deal. We'll bring you in every once in a while. Or you can go to AEW and be Edge and probably make, you know, similar or more money, probably work even less dates.
Oh, yeah.
And ride it out. And because, again, I don't think a lot of these guys are like, hey, you know, Edge wasn't used for months. You know, those questions, he was going to go back to WWE and wrestle John Cena, you know. And everybody is just – they got 1 million guys. You can't use everybody. So if you sign there, like the Rascals and Ace Austin and all those guys, yeah, you might get that initial bump of being on TV or whatever. But you're trading what you were making in TNA, which was far less – but you were a mainstay on the TV because you always saw the Rascals and Ace Austin on there.
Yeah.
And now, are they happier? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, those their bank accounts are happier.
Well, sure. Sure. And that's, you know, it's part of building the brand.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like in our situation. Like, you got certain guys who think they're ready and they think they should be champions. Or they think they should be this. And it's like, well, go look at my roster. And are you better on my roster than Jay Vidal? Are you better than Danny Limelight? Are you better than, you know, how did the Mariachis got there? They had to work hard. It took a few years to get there.
Right.
You know, and other people, you know, injuries happen. You know, if Matt Vandergriff or Cody weren't injured, those spots wouldn't open up. And as we talked about it, you know, Dante King was a champion. Then we didn't see him for a while because that's what happens. In independent wrestling, it happens. You know, so imagine in AEW when they have 150 people on a roster. Go look at the Ring of Honor taping and be like, wow, AR Fox is really good, but you won't see him really on AEW. And you got Nice and you got all these guys that are really talented. But, hey, Hangman Page is back. Oh, Kenny Omega's back. Oh, Pac's back. Well, those are the top tier guys. Then when they decide, hey, you know, we're going to put 37 guys in Callis's faction, and you got Cage now, and you got Hoyt, and you got Jake Something's back from injury, and,
right.
You know, you're rotating, you know, the Danny Garcia guy, I guess, but you got Moxley's crew. Like, again, it's a 2-hour show.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much going on, and it's like, you know, TNA's taping this week. We won't have Romo, and you know, but they too were taping every 2 weeks now. They were doing it once a month.
Yeah.
So now at least there's a few more days. So this analytics and the data and blah blah blah. You know, I didn't see the Ilya's deal. Like, I thought they actually just got rid of him. You're saying the contract was up and
yeah. Yeah, he just did. He apparently didn't want to reassign.
Which is crazy because he was a guy who just got brought up. You would have thought he was, you know, contracted more long term.
Yeah. And then that's the other surprising thing is he's actually been up for somewhere around 2 years. So it's like.
Yeah, I guess. But he was probably out for almost 9 months to a year.
With the injury. Yeah,
and exactly. Yeah, and then it's like, again, now trying to find something for him. So he might have been ready to go, and then it was another 3 months before they got him back on television.
Yeah. So yeah, it's, you know, it's fascinating. And, you know, lucky, you know, you don't have to worry about finding spots for this match here.
Well, yeah, like Sugar Brown, he's been back with us for a long time. He's had a couple of matches. He's ready to go. But there's just so much. Bret the Threat moved away. He came back, main guy. Yeah. Finally, you know, he got his setting back. Nick Xander, he's pretty much been back a lot longer than you've seen him.
Right. Yeah, and it's crazy. When you look at this mixed, you know, who has the most to prove there?
Who has what?
The most approved there, because you know you got the cockiness of the kids, and then the you know, the blood feud between the brothers, and then you got Xility Josh, who I think probably has the most to show. You know, stepping up with the old guard there.
The OGs, the OGs, yeah. Remy and Shug, but. It's a big match for Shug. I don't think we've seen him in a match since he was doing something with Remy against Bateman's crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been quite some time.
Which was more than probably a year ago.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot to prove. This is a big match for him. If he goes out there and shines, because, again, I know what he's capable of. He's probably the only guy in FSW history to hold the tag titles. It might be three different people. I remember it was like, I know it was Saiku. I know it was Clutch.
Right.
It was the Real Money Brothers. It was Sweet and Sour. And right. He may have been a tag team champion with somebody else in the dynasty. I can't really remember, but I think so. Not positive.
Yeah.
Another trivia question for anybody. You know, who has Sugar Brown teamed with to be FSW tag team champion?
So that brings up an interesting question. Could we possibly see Shug and Xility Josh become a tag team?
We could. I know Clutch is just a phone call away.
Yeah, but isn't he working ICW?
Yeah, he might be. Now he works the AWF one.
Right. Bean says Robbie's going to get it. Oh, boy. Mondo's got his up and comings, apparently. And then, of course, the tag team match, Mariachis versus TBD. You know, but with TBD, Is this something that you, when they broke apart, could you see them coming back together, or was this just, you know, one of those things where, because of timing and everything, it just kind of lines up where, you know, they get that chance again, but most likely they'll probably be seeking individual things from this point out, because that's, you know, it's two huge guys right there.
I think they'd be more than happy to take every title that they can, you know. So the thing is, after, you know, they had their implosion, MK got into the head of San Lu, and they went their separate ways, and they feuded, and like brothers, you know, after Shogun had his injury, they came together. And it's like every week I'll get a message from Shogun or Hiro. Hey, can we grab the key? And they've been training together ever since Shogun's come back. So, but as competitors, when we announced that the match was going to be a four-way for a championship, well, both guys were going to go after it. And whoever was standing in front of him, and for a few minutes in the match, Hiro and Shogun were standing in front of each other. They didn't take the easy route. They wanted to win the match. So, you know, brothers fight, somebody get in the way. You know how it is with people. You know, there's always somebody trying to instigate something, and there's no better instigator than MK. So, you know, issues happen there. Everything seems to be all good, even though they wrestled each other. You know, and we've seen that where people wrestle each other. It's like MMA, guys in the same group fight each other. Best man wins. They shake hands and move on.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Shogun and Hiro, the idea initially was to put all these former champions together, but it didn't work out. And now we got a pretty big deal. You know, you want to talk about battle of the bruiserweights, you know, even though Hiro's lost, you know, some weight, you know,
still
got the muscle. So that could be one of the sleeper matches, because, you know, no matter who's standing next to against the mariachis, for whatever reason, the fans that are still always behind them. So, you know, Hiro and Shogun are two popular cats. So once again, we're going to see how that's going to work out.
Yeah, that would be a great swerve if MK came out and it ends up there with MK and they got the tag titles.
Oh, crazy.
Come on. All right. So last man standing match. In the end, Fox and AJ, what do they have to prove with this match? Because, and you know, it's last man standing. Does that mean no rules apply, essentially? Is it
pretty much? I guess it's a 10 count, right?
Yeah. So that could open up for quite a bit of intrigue into what they might do to each other.
Considering, as long as they don't damage the HyperX, you know what I mean?
So no going through the screen.
Yeah.
See one of them working off the damages for the next 30 years doing shows for free for you.
They'd be gone. And yeah, looking at the Sugar Brown thing, technically he was part of the Hater Nation when they had the tag titles.
Right.
And we kind of freebirded it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess you can, maybe he's had 2.5 different partners in that. Because I'm not sure. Because mainly it was Hater and Legacy, but there was occasions where Sug filled in, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, you would have to imagine, you know. because, you know, Suga was also very into, you know, integral to the Hayter Nation. So, there you go. Bring back Hayter for one of these matches.
Yeah, it's possible.
I'm sure he could probably, you know, get through, you know, about a third of a match.
I am scraping it to the bottom of the barrel, so I might as well hit up Hayter. You know what I mean?
You just have him come out as The Rock, and you know, that'd be it. I think the fans would be happy enough, and you wouldn't have to do much. And then you know, let's, you know, say meet and greet, of course. If you want to participate in the meet and greet, reach out to Joe, and it starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah, that'll start at 5, the regular meet and greet for the other, you know, wrestlers, and, you know, probably about 5:20 we'll start. The main doors will open at 6.
Yeah, and early on in the day, tomorrow at 2 p.m., is Zoe Serrano's wrestling seminar. And if you're not taking advantage of that for $40, something's wrong.
Oh, yeah, there'll be a large amount that won't.
Yeah.
There'll be a different excuse.
Do you have an idea so far? Is there already pre-registers or...
Yeah, you know, there's a few, and they say they're going to be there. It's like, I know, like, Matthias from San Diego has been on some of the Future Shocks. Talented guy, you know, he's going to be in town. You know, he's, you know, he's bandying for a pre-show spot, which could happen. But I had mentioned the seminar to him, and he said he was going to take part. So, you know, hopefully we get... You know, I'd be disappointed if we had less than 10, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why we shouldn't have 15 or 20 with all the students that we have.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sometimes is a crapshoot. I remember doing one with TJP before he was a trainer. We've done with Lance Hoyt. We've done it with some big name people that all of a sudden, like, even Amazing Red. Like, wow, yeah. You see anybody from either a tag team or a, you know, no limits division guy.
Yeah.
And I think we probably had 6 or 7, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and probably one was Cody, who's our trainer. You know what I mean? And one it was Bradley Mastermind, who's a fucking manager.
Yeah.
So there might have been like 4 or 5 people. And it was the same before when we, you know, we had it with, you know, I forgot who it was, but it was another tag team guy. And it was just like, I don't understand. Like, knowledge is king.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a seminar happening the same week somewhere in Canada, maybe. I don't know. But it was the Good Brothers. It was $140. Okay. And it was $240 for the VIP experience. I don't know.
Oh, God.
It was like, wow. And, you know, I laugh. But Luke Gallows is you know, I like Luke.
Yeah.
But, man, you know, he's always banging. You know, he's awesome, yeah. Let's just say.
Oh, yeah.
He went to the Sin Bodhi School of Carneyism.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
I mean, and it's that- like.
240, I get to carry their bags around.
Yeah, you know. And again, regardless, and I've seen some clips of his information, and he's extremely knowledgeable, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try to make it as affordable as possible.
Yeah.
If we charged $100, I can't believe anybody would even do it, because everybody cries about every dollar. So,
yeah.
So now it's at 40 and they're still crying. So, and then they play, and it's like, I've offered people, it's like, hey, I get it. You know, money's tight, whatever. You want to do it, just pay me with dues next month, or pay me in a couple of weeks, or pay me in a couple of days, whatever it is. if you want to be in this seminar, then we'll figure out a way to get you in it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Especially like any female that is training at FSW, if you choose not to do this, that really questions my thought process of what your values or goals are in this business. To have somebody who was, especially somebody who was trained here, who was trained in Utah, came here, and all the accolades she ever got in professional wrestling were because of what happened at FSW and her.
Yeah.
You would think you'd want to pick that person's brain. And as an added bonus, her husband is the guy who trained John Cena, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, basically ran UPW, Tom Howard, one of the best trainers there is, that you know he's going to be there. And he'll probably be in the ring too.
Yeah.
Questioning and offering advice. So it's basically a 2-for-1 seminar.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's and you know, and again, it's if you don't understand the value of that, you know, again, you got to kind of question what you're doing, because this is it. This is, you know, this is how you learn. This is how you grow.
You know, and then getting back to the show, I believe the card is set. We're going to open the show with the No Limits Gauntlet match. That's going number one. Now the parties may have changed.
Right.
We're going to figure that out. Number two is going to be the 4-on-4 between the Frequent Flyers and the Fight Club. Match three is going to be the women's championship match between Zamaya and Veronica West. Match four is going to be the last man standing match. Match five is going to be the tag team title match with the Mariachis against TBD. Match six is going to be the survival match, elimination style, lights, camera, faction versus the MK Army. Match seven will be the women's special attraction match with Zoe Serrano and Brittany Brooks. And match eight will be for the FSW Heavyweight Championship, a 20-minute championship scramble. Two guys start at the 3-minute mark. Another participant will enter. At the 6-minute mark, another participant will enter. And at the 9-minute mark, Bodhi will enter. Whoever scores the first pinfall will be the current champion, but he could be the champion if there's no other pins during the match.
There we go. I am putting my money on you guys, man. I got to take MK's team there. And it's going to be good to see. I'm sure Duke wouldn't mind doing double duty, right?
And again, yeah, you know, there's a guy who has a victory over the current champion.
True. Very true. You know, speaking of MK too, did you see the Dark Side of the Ring with
I have not yet. You know, every time I hit something, it's more of a picture. So I haven't really had time to and sit and hear it, but hopefully Sunday after the show Saturday, I'll definitely, you know, want to check it out.
Yeah, not a lot of MK, you know, towards the end, you know, we get a little taste, but you know, just again, Missy, yeah, her story has always been fascinating, and you know, the shit that she went through.
It's always a good story when you have somebody who's a little bit out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sure adds to the entertainment value. And, yes, you know, that's what you're kind of searching for, is entertainment.
Absolutely. You know.
No offense, but there's not much enjoyable in watching the Chris Benoit story, you know.
I mean, and now we're talking true crime mysteries. So.
Well, yeah, you know, you know, at least yeah. in this situation, you know, ups and downs, a lot of zany and wackiness going on. You know, I've heard the stories about the Jim Ross thing or the Vince McMahon thing, and you know, and being at Barley's with him and her after a show. Definitely entertaining moments.
Yeah, and you know, and again, you know, shout out to just Matt being who he is, in terms of you know, giving Missy a good position where she is currently in life to have someone like him. So I think that,
yeah, you know, that's Matt definitely likes putting her in a good position.
So again, that championship match will have one more person in it. And we could see, you know, it's a 20-minute match. So, you know, 3-second pin. We could see maybe 20-plus championship changes in that match.
It's too possible. Right? You know, I know when the WWE did it and Brian Kendrick got an early pin, and he was the champion for about 7 minutes of that 20.
Yeah. Yeah. That title reign, amazingly enough, is never spoke about.
It's unbelievable. It's like.
It's crazy.
And neither will ours. Only whoever is the champion at the end, but it's fun. And yeah, you know, I saw the way the crowd reacted, and you can have a 20-minute scramble, or you can just have, you know, you can have a match, 5-man scramble, you know, whoever wins, you know, a lot of pins are going to be broken up, a lot of big moves you're going to see, part of the reason why I like the scramble. But at Survival of the Fittest, this is really, the odds are stacked against the champion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and then it's also, Ice sent me a recommendation last night, and we were talking about the gauntlet match. And the idea was, the gauntlet was, you get to Jade and Cole. But being Survival of the Fittest, Ice felt that Jade and Cole as the champion should run the gauntlet. So that's also in my head of where we're going.
Yeah.
In that match.
I agree with Ice on that one. I think that, to me, that's always more exciting when the champion has to make it through a full gauntlet instead of having, because that's the other thing too. At the end, if the champion's the last one, he still has champion advantage too, by, you know, count out, you know, disqualification.
Right. He can retain. But we've seen gauntlet matches where the champion lost early, or say a 4-way elimination, and the champion was pinned first, and it's like, oh, you're guaranteed a new champion.
Yeah.
So. In terms of you're talking about fan reaction, there's not as big a reaction that if Jaden Cole goes first and loses, oh shit. If Jaden Cole wins, oh cool. Then the next guy gets to Jaden Cole, and now it's for the championship, and that's the championship part, which is similar to me with the idea with Bodhi with the championship scramble. So. Yeah. Bodhi will not enter a 20-minute match till 9 minutes in. So there's a good chance he will not be the champion when he steps foot
when
into
he
the
steps ring. In. Yep.
So I'm good with that one. So I love that idea. But, you know, Ice mentioning that really. You know, Jaden Cole might have to open up against, say, Cappuccino Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a good chance that Jaden Cole's knocked out first.
And also with, you know, the kind of having to figure out the pieces still. I always kind of like the idea too that you have someone who, as champion now, is starting off a gauntlet and might not technically even know the first person who's coming in to face him. So he might not have
even going to wait to hear the music.
Yeah.
Which so think- now, here's a crazy scenario. Jaden Cole runs the gauntlet, and then he becomes the fifth person in the championship scramble.
Oh, shit. That's actually not a bad idea either. Because you are opening with that match, Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Idea. So it's crazy to say, but man, this show is very exciting already. But man, we haven't even put the we haven't even put the cherry on top yet.
And theoretically, if that was the stipulation and he gets that fifth spot, Jaden Cole at some point in the night could hold
be a double champion.
Both championships, which is that's
go.
That's pretty
if Jaden Cole ran the gauntlet, we would make sure he was the first guy out for the championship scramble.
The championship, yeah. Yeah, you gotta get the think tank going and get everyone on the same page. That's actually a very interesting concept. and I'm sure Jaden, that's the cool thing about Jaden Cole, man. You say, hey, this is what's happening. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's up for it.
Yeah, so there's definitely, I always say it's the calm before the storm. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm starting to put the match card together, writing stuff up. I got to, make the list for ATOX for the people who got tickets. So when they come to the door, putting the envelopes together right now. I had to actually order, on Amazon because I didn't have enough envelopes. So, it's the September show. It will be September 18th, by the way. So. But, yeah, so it's like tons of work. And then drop my wife off from work, and then I head over. Today we're going to be heading up at the HyperX and setting up the ring at 5 o'clock. But we're also going to try to bypass – the audio guy, it's like, trying to save some money. And we had issues last time, and we have no idea whether it was Mikey, whether it was the audio guy, or whether it was Title Match Network. So, supposedly the audio was fine, and then when it got aired, it wasn't. So we don't really know the situation. But we bring our computer. We don't need a lot of stuff to bring. Why don't we just do it ourselves? So we're going to be there at 5 o'clock, not only setting up the ring, setting up the lights, which I think they didn't change them, thankfully, but we're also going to do a little run through just so we can see if we can handle doing the audio ourselves, because the audio through the venue is always fine. It's not we need an audio guy for. So it's like it's not cost effective to pay the audio guy. It's basically paying him what we're paying for the stream, what we're getting for it. So here we go. Today's the day. You there? I think we lost him. So, yeah, so this Saturday, seminars at 2 o'clock. We got the personal meet and greets at 5, probably about 5:15, 5:20. We're going to open the doors for the other meet and greet people that are coming in. We'll have tables set. We'll have a couple of vendors there also selling, wrestling memorabilia. 6 o'clock, the main doors will open. There will be a pre-show match that will feature the First Responders, and Young Money. So It's probably going to be a 3-on-3 or 4-on-4, depending on the situation and, you know, who bothers to come by and help. But it is a big show tonight. I mean, Saturday night. And we look forward to seeing all our fans there. Front row is sold out. The front row stage still has about a half a dozen tickets remaining. So you can go to eventbrite.com or you could just message me on the Facebook. And if you need tickets, you know, hit me up. You there?
Yeah, I'm here now. Can you hear me, Joe?
I can hear you.
Something happened where a computer just totally went all out.
Yeah, and you sound muffled too at the moment. So.
Yeah, well, I had to jump on my phone.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wrapped it up, let everybody know about the thing, the time, the date, all the information.
Excellent. I think we'll try to end it here. And until next time, everyone, come on out again Saturday night, 7 p.m. Catch on Title Match Network. Out.
Yep. Perfect timing. My dog needs to be let out.
Perfect. All right, everyone, until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.